want to greet you in the name of Jesus, a blessing that we can gather together and from all different areas of the world, all different backgrounds, history, personalities, and the list goes on, and God brings us together to worship, and it's a beautiful experience. I am blessed to be here. Linda and I are blessed to be here for the 2 months to, not sure how to say it. I can't take John and Linda can't take Karen's place, but we're here to fill the spot. The setting here is it calls him teacher. I brought you my son who has a mute. The disciples tried to calm. Shows up. Faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Him and said, O faithless. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him in childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and in. Immediately the father of the child, things are put and said with tears, just go back to bed, it's okay. You know, one child said, you know, the parents said, well, God is with you. And he says, but I want God to have some skin. A resource of more faith, and we just like to fill up our bottle, right? With unbelief. And it'd be nice if Jesus would have said, Lord, I said, this, I'll let you look at that exact setting, but this more my testimony that I often pray, like I said, I faith, and we wonder how that is. It's kind of an intangible. We had a visiting minister in our church, Marvin Beachy, was this morning that the way that we want to look at this is very much like a cliff walk. God is the only one at the immense ocean. Much surprise. So if you keep that in mind, we'll look at it as well. It's 13. There's that put this whole picture right for us. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter, you know, 18. And it gives us the complete load right up front. It gives us 1 understanding all mysteries, including faith. And though I have basket, and here was the zero growing up, and he was learning his numbers, had the little flashcard. Faith. So you see right up front the impact of faith. So you see right up front the impact of faith. In chapter 5. As working through love, faith in your hearts, like those cliffs that we're walking along, being rooted and grounded in love, that are anchored in love. Turn to page 2 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. Lord Jesus Christ, be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. There's hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of your work of faith and your labor. Be here that the seeing your work of faith and your labor of love. And if you're quite often, we'll see it in 1 Corinthians 13 when we go there again. But let us who are of the day be sober, Thessalonians, plate of faith and but let us our heart. Vitals, what is, just the next page, 1 Timothy chapter 1, we have in verse, puts a few more ingredients of that pure, and we turn to sincere faith that he puts, verse 20, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and then we'll go to chapter 2, hold fast, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, hold fast the thing that was committed to us. So then in chapter 2, verse 22, flee also. I think God has look for instruction what you should do in your life. God can do. Increase my faith. You work on your love. Think of a course. Increase my faith. You work on your love. Think of a course. And they don't say, well, we're going to stay apart because, you know, we're just going to get to know. Are working in love, working on their love, till finally the day comes that the young man thinks, you know, as hard as it is, I'm getting close to me. They worked on their love. How do you know when it's time or who I should get married to, who I should date? And I say when or who I should get married to, that will help you walk closer to the Lord than you can by yourself. The softness of the heather, the enjoy clouds, the roaring of the wave, cliff walk. The softness of the heather, the beauty of the clouds, the roaring of the waves. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart. All that brings us to this reason for all the old from a pure heart brings us to a love of Christ that drives our faith to Ephesians chapter 1. In our lives, we love as we feel God's love, the warmth, the tingling, the all loves with God, and the example that often when we think about station, petrol station, you get out of the car, you go around the back, faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love for all. This verse 3. Heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ praying always for you. Since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. The two together. Where it says your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus. And toward all saints. That the sharing of your faith may become effective. Have great joy. Acknowledgement of every good thing. Which you have in your love and faith in the brotherhood of God and how good feels so what good in our hearts. But isn't it how we're worshiping, singing, and the list of what good in on the things that we do together with all the saints, stressed by Philemon here, and I ask the question myself, is my faith and love refreshing? At Philemon here, he says, question myself, is my faith and love refreshing? Here, he said, for we have great joy and consolation. The faith and love we're working together is so refreshing. We're going to sit where we can see just the open. We see in verse 22, it says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Okay, we've been working on that one. We've looked at a few points this morning. Here he tells us, Jesus tells them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things he asks when ye pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. As we look at that statement in verse 25, and 26, it says that when you stand, forgive. We talked about faith. We talked about love with God. We talked about faith and love with our brethren. And here he tells us to have faith. And as you pray, forgive. And you know, I know, at times that's a huge challenge. Jesus himself, when his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, he said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's one of the few things in the Bible that has a condition. If you forgive, God forgives you. If you're willing to forgive the faith and love amongst the brotherhood, God forgives you, forgives me, as we forgive each other. But just before that, he says in verse 23, "For assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea." You know, there's times when we'd like to build a building and it's too much of a slope. We'd like that, you know, the next morning when we get down on our prayer, we say, "Lord, would you just, you know, make that flat, so that we can just build our house with a regular foundation or whatever we're building." But you know that hasn't happened in Ireland. It hasn't happened in Pennsylvania. And we don't pray that much in flat Indiana. But I don't think that's what that verse is saying. It's saying that if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Turn with me to Micah. Jonah, Micah in the Old Testament. If you don't have anything else of this message, there's two verses here that I want you to notice. As Jesus talked about taking this mountain and casting it into the sea, in Micah 7, verse 18, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity?" We've been there. We know that God forgives us. We should forgive each other. "And passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." Isn't that beautiful? He takes our sins and he takes them, casts them in the bottom of the sea. Oh, we love that feeling. Remember, we're still in the village. Do I rejoice because your sins are in the bottom of the sea too? And if they're at the bottom of the sea, what am I doing trying to bring them back up? And so we see the picture that Jesus, in a sense, I believe, was drawing in Mark, was that as you pray and as you forgive and you see those mountains, those sins, those mountains of sins cast into the depths of the sea, and you say, "Well, that's not scripture." Well, at least it is in Micah. In Micah, he says our sins are cast into the sea. And my paraphrase is that the mountains that exist here are often the sins of our own, but also those of the brotherhood that increase our love and faith, that increase our glorifying God. And God takes them, and in Micah he said he casts them into the depths of the sea. And this morning I looked at happened to pick up a little bit of news in the university in Illinois as they study water and wonder, well, where does it come from? Does it come from something that passed the earth and water came to the earth? They just discovered that 700 kilometers under where we stand is an ocean three times larger than all the oceans on the earth. So maybe our sins went there. God does not want us to bring them back, wherever they are, whether there's an ocean down there or not. Be interesting to see how that develops, see how that finding develops or not. But we see, do I rejoice when my brother's sins are down under the bottom of the ocean as well as my own? We looked a little bit at faith and love. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for you for it. We talked a little bit about that, developed that. I've written down that love is forgiveness and forgiveness is love. God wants us to forgive each other. He taught us that in the Lord's Prayer. He's taught us that in John. He's taught us that in many, many places. We enjoy God's love. We enjoy when he warms our heart. we enjoy and it increases our faith, and we think that God and I can do anything. Did you ever think about the flip side of that? That God has faith in you? That you and I are God's hands and feet on the earth? That you and I are God's testimony to our neighbors? That God, in a sense, has love and faith in us? That we would do and be His children here? God's faith in us matters more than our faith in God. I wrote that down and I thought about it. When your faith fails, where do we go? We say, God, give me more faith. When our love fails, we say, God, I need more love. And we go to Him and His limitless supply of both. But our responsibility, how can we live to be God's love and faith in us? Annie Johnson Flint wrote a poem. I didn't bring it along, but you can look it up. But that we are His hands and feet. We are His message to people. We are God to those people we meet. We are those people that people say, well, if that is how Christians live, I want to be one. And it's sad to say when people say the opposite. But God has put, and then somebody has stated that there was somebody before God and said, well, God, you planned that all of mankind would be your testimony on the earth. He says, what if they fail? What if they don't? And what if they aren't a faithful testimony in the earth? And God said, I have no other plan. You and I are God's hands, feet, testimony, message. The list goes on to the world. We are showing Him. And I wondered, well, what verse can we go to? Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And I looked, and the whole Bible is God's expression of faith in us. As we look at the patriarchs, as we look at all that He's written for us, it's for us to be example of God's faith and love to those that are around Him, that are around us. Sorry. Two things that can destroy that. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after they have erred from the faith. If you misplace your love for God for your love of your money, it says you have erred from the faith. It can destroy your life. You have pierced themselves through. 2 Timothy 3, I'm going to turn to that. You can listen if you like. But 2 Timothy 3 is a second item that destroys our love and faith in God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such turn away, for of this sort are those who creep into household and make captive of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as there also was. If I would put that in just one sentence, it will be, for men will be lovers of themselves, disapproved concerning the faith. You've seen the saying, love yourself. You've seen all the things of that. That's not us. It totally rebukes that here in 2 Timothy 3. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, faith, love, patience, meekness. That's in chapter 6 of 2 Timothy. C.S. Lewis, as he can, writes about love. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. Jesus said, I'll send him my son to die for them and save them. That's love. That's love. You go to the doctor, you wonder what's wrong, and he gives you a prescription. Turn to Psalm 34. The prescription for love and faith I have found in Psalm 34. I have paraphrased verse 4. Where it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I paraphrased that this morning for my sake in this message. I loved the Lord and he heard me. And he gave me all my faith. Giving us faith delivers us from our fears, right? When you wonder which way to turn and you wonder, Lord, my faith is weak, my love is weak, where shall I go? Turn to Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned.